wonderful to have you tonight, and it's good to have the Uptons here tonight. And Betty, we're glad you're doing better. Praise the Lord. She has a little note. Dear brother and sisters, you have blessed my life with your cards, your calls, your food, flowers, and many prayers during my recovery. I am so glad I'm a part of the family of God, especially the Maranatha Baptist Church family. Thank you so much, for you are all very dear to me, and you're very dear to us. Thank the Lord. It is good to have many visitors here tonight. John's good to have your mother here tonight to this wonderful occasion, and others that are visiting with us. And of course, good to have Pastor Krista, your parents here tonight, especially my dear friends. I love them. Thank the Lord for them. And then, of course, others that are visiting with us tonight. I know we have a couple over here from Chattanooga, and good to have you folks with us tonight. And others that may be visiting, thank you for being here tonight. We rejoice in that. This is a special occasion. I kind of feel like an outsider tonight looking in, except for the fact that they're going where my kids already are. So that kind of makes me kind of feel part of the service. Now, Pastor Mike filled out the schedule of the service tonight, and he says, regular song service, short sermon. And you know what? I think that's a good thing. This isn't about me tonight. This is about the Boylestons and the church here. But I'm so glad to be part of this. And I want you to take your Bibles for a few moments. And I do promise that my goal will be to be short. I said my goal will be to be short. But I want you to go to Romans, the 8th chapter, for a few moments this evening. And we will cover some other thoughts here along these verses. But I was thinking about, what can you do for the Boylestons as they go off to the mission field? And immediately the thought of prayer took place in my thought life. And when I come to verse 26 and 27 of verse 8, I see the thought of prayer. And of course, we find, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart, that is God, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now I see three thoughts in this passage tonight. I hope it will be a blessing about prayer. First of all, he enables us to pray. Notice, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth. Would you take note of a passage over there in the book of Jude? And you can just choose whatever verse you'd like. But in the book of Jude over there, you find in verse 20 these words: "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Now, would you think that's a key thought? Because prayer cannot be what it needs to be unless you pray in the Holy Ghost. And so that verse over there in Romans 8 begins, likewise, the Spirit. The word helpeth is an interesting word as I looked it up. It means to bring two opposites together. That's what it means. I thought about that. Here's humanity, and here's divinity, and there's totally the opposites. And through prayer, God brings humanity and divinity together in a common cause in the subject of prayer. And so, only the Holy Ghost can bring us together. So I say, first of all, tonight, about prayer, he enables us to pray. And if you do not pray in the Holy Ghost, your prayers won't go any higher than this ceiling. But you want to pray for the Boylestons tonight. Prayer, he enables us to pray. He not only enables us to pray, but he enlightens us to pray what we need to pray. Notice, secondly, in this passage here, notice he says, he maketh... Let's read the verse again. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth, taking two opposites and bringing together, the Holy Spirit does that, our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Boy, I want to tell you what, there's a true statement. When I go to prayer, if I'm not praying in the Holy Ghost, I haven't the slightest idea really what to pray for. But the Spirit of God lay. We ought to pray, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be light. Cannot be uttered. And that word maketh intercession means he enlightens us what to pray for. He puts up our minds the things that we need to pray for. You know, this is the third time he talks about groanings in this 8th chapter. You go over there to chapter, same chapter, you look at verse 22, he talks about the groanings of creation. For we know not, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. In verse 23, he talks about the Christian's groaning. He says this, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we also groan within ourselves. Then he talks about the groanings of the Comforter. Creation groans, Christian groans, and the Holy Ghost groans, the Comforter of God groans within us, because that is such an important subject. You know, I only see this, he enables us to pray, taking two opposite, bringing them together. He enlightens us what to pray. What are we going to pray for? How do we know what to pray for the Boylstons? I think this is important. He edits our prayers. You know, I think that's with verse 27. How many are thankful that the prayers you prayed were never really directly answered? Anyone here besides me is a thank God that wasn't answered the way I prayed it. And I think that's what verse 27 is all about. He said, and he that searcheth the heart, that's God, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so he edits our prayers. He takes the prayers that we pray from our hearts and from our lips and our mouth, and he edits them and makes them so they're acceptable before God. So I see here the need of prayer. So what I want to give you tonight, and for a few moments, and only take a few moments, I'll try not to lie about that statement. I'm going to give you quickly seven areas of which to pray for the Boylstons. Seven areas which I hope you will consider praying for them, because there are certain things, you know, oftentimes I hear people say, bless the missionaries, or bless this, or bless that. I'm not too sure what that means. I'm glad that the Holy Ghost edits the prayers to make of what they ought to mean. But there are seven things I want to just help with you tonight. And you know me, I always start with I'm illiterate, that's why I use alliterations. But they all start with H. The first is health. Now that's on my heart tonight because, as you know, my daughter overseas right now in Ponape is in the clinic and will be there. I'm told recently that she'll be there until Wednesday because the, is that correct, honey? Is that what I'm hearing? She'll be over there. And I thought about the things that you get over there you may not get over here. I mean, hell, you know, I spent a Christmas there, I think one, at least one, and, you know, it was 90 degrees on Christmas Day. And the humidity and all the diseases and all the things that are over there and the limited medical facilities that are there. My daughter had one of the babies in the local hospital down there, which leaves the windows open so that the rats can get in or the cats can get in to eat the rats. Isn't that great? And you want a bath? You unhook the IV and go home, take your bath, come back to the hospital. You'll find out over here. But you know what? God just adjusts you to all that. But when I think about health, I come over here also to 3 John and Verse 2, he said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health. What do you need to pray for? I believe with all my heart you need to pray for their health. For their health. We've been over there several times over at Ponape, and I remember a few weddings and funerals that we've attended, and they have, that. I guarantee you, there's a greater population of flies in Ponape than there is people. And you look at that food, and you don't want to hurt their feelings, so you know you got to eat some of it, but you hope that you're not eating meat with the bananas, referring to flies and whatever. And they always have these branches from the palm trees trying to keep the flies off all the food, and you just eat them and say, Lord, make me healthy in spite of this. So what can you pray for their family? Not the gag of maggot, huh? All right, here we go. Listen, pray for their health. I think that's one of the first things you need to put on the prayer list is pray for their heritage. And secondly, pray for their heritage. What in the world do I mean by heritage? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. Go to Psalm 127, if you will, please. Psalm 127, and I will answer the question what I mean by the heritage. Psalm 127, look there in verse 3. Might want to highlight that verse. Not only pray for their health, but pray for their heritage. What do I mean by that? Lo, children are a what? Heritage. Of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You have five children that you're taking over there. That's your heritage. And may I say to you, there, I want to say this with all the dogma I can deny to you and the Ivans over here, your children are more important than your ministry. Because God gave you five, and they all start with K. There's going to be 10 kids running around there whose first names start with a K. Benjamin, you're going to be out of place. You're going, what's that mean? All right, we'll start with K. Your five with K, our five with K. And but think about these children. One of your children, I was given a hug a little while ago and talking to her. She says, I'm going to miss my family. And I can remember the first time when they left. It was just Kaleo. He was only about 2 years old. And I cried and I cried and I cried. And I was so glad when they came home the next time, years later. Then I was glad when they left, too. Don't take that, in, you know. But I tell you, you get attached. And so, but you know, they're going to make new friends, but pray that they'll make the right friends. Pray that they'll be able to adjust to all the things they need to adjust. Here they are, literally being taken away from grandma and grandpas and aunts and uncles and cousins and all the and church family, and there they are. Pray for them by name. At Northside, we have 89 missionaries our church supports. I don't just pray for mom and dad. I pray for every one of the children. I pray so many a day, and I pray for their children. You know why? Because those children need our prayers. They really need our prayers. And I would say this to you, as a church, get a hold of their birthdays. And send them little notes. You know, we got so many ways to communicate today we didn't have. When our children went over to Ponape 12 years ago, you know, we called them up, cost $2 a minute. Now we have a number, a Charleston number, we just call them all the time. And they call us all the time. The reason why they call us all the time is because somebody's in the hospital. But anyway, they call us and we call them. So pray first for their health. Secondly, pray for their heritage. As these children at leaving about 5 on Tuesday morning, and pray for them. They're probably around 3 o'clock, don't you? Somewhere in there. I'm sorry, I won't be there 3 o'clock. But seriously. Remember them as they say goodbye. And our children are coming home in August. They've been gone for about 5 years, and so we haven't. We're looking forward to spending some time with them. But you know, I want my children when they come home say, "Oh, we didn't really want to come because we're going to miss the Boylston children." And the Boylston children will say, "We're going to miss the Keelings." And we pray they'll grow together in the Lord. And you too, Benjamin. We're changing your name when you get over there. Start with a K. All right? I don't know what we're going to call you yet, but we'll come up with something. All right? Thirdly, pray for the house they need. Right now you have something that's going to be down a little farther away from the church where you're going to be ministering, but pray for the right house for them. I remember the first house that the Keelings were in, and I remember the rats that were in the termites. The termites really enjoyed that house. Because they were eating it away. And then, I'm going to say this, I you know, one thing about being an interim here, you're only temporary. You can say what you want, Brother Frank, and leave. You know what this church ought to do? Got to go over sometime and build them a house. I'm going to try that one more time. And I'm not going on until you get some amen. You ought to go over and build them a house. You need to go over and build them a house sometime, okay? Just go over and help out and build them a house, help raise the money. And we had 4 or 5 churches that did that, and, of course, they have a house over there now. And you can't buy property over there. You have to get that from somebody. But I bet the Keelings family could help you on that. But, you know, pray for the house they're going to live in because you've got 7 of you. Got to be a big enough. I know the house you're now renting, I think, only has 1 bathroom. All right? I could say some things, but I'm not going to get that earthy here about all this. But just pray for them, for the house that God wants them to live in. And pray for that. And then fourthly, pray about the hindrances. Pray about the hindrances. I have a couple references. I want you to turn in your New Testament there to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. When I think about the hindrances, and I think over here in verse 7, here's the Apostle Paul, and he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messengers of Satan. You know what I've written by that word, messengers of Satan? Satan's errand boys. Satan's errand boys. His messengers. And I think with all my, I read all the missionaries at Northside, and I try to keep in as much as I can with your missionaries here. We support some of the same ones you support. But I want you to know the devil is out to shut down their ministry. One day the way he can do it is through health. I thought of the rains. I thought of others that are going through some of the real difficulties in Brinson Jennings and his family. And on the story goes. And, of course, the Keeling just constantly, and you know, He said, unless there should be, look at verse 8, verse 7 again, and unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there is given me a thorn in the flesh, the messengers are to buffet me. In other words, the devil just works them over. Then I go over also to 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18. So go there to 1 Thessalonians 2 and look with me at verse 18. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but what's he say? What's the text say? But what? Satan hindered me. Wow. The hindrances that they're going to have. Now I understand and believe with all my heart that greater is the power that is in you than the power that is against you. But we do know those hindrances are very well, and he would like to shut down what you want to do there. One of the things, I, John, I've never really met you before. I don't think I have, but I understand you're going to be doing some translations. You know, they don't even have the Old Testament in their language. They don't have the Old Testament. And so we appreciate what you're so pray for their health, pray for their heritage, referring to their children, pray for the house that God would give, pray for the hindrances that are going to be, and pray for harmony among the people. Particularly among the pastors. I think of William Joel, I think of Moses, not the one in the Old Testament, Clayton and Rick Veracruz and Samuel Wellis. I pray, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 133, a great psalm, as you probably know, Psalm 133. Behold how good, in verse 1, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, the old devil would like to, I know the Keelings have had some real issues with some of the customs and some of the things they want to do over there that, you know, doesn't make any sense to us and some of the issues they've gone to. Then go to the New Testament about unity. By the way, unity is not made. You don't make unity. You just keep what already is made in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we don't make unity. It's already made. And he has all those seven unities over there And he says in verse 3 of chapter 4, endeavoring to keep the unity in the spirit in the bond of peace. Wow, what a bond. You come together. And so pray for harmony. Number 6, pray for their heavy schedule. Wow. I mean, you've had a pretty heavy schedule over here going from here to there, but now, you're not going to go from here to there. You only got on an island that's 64 miles around. So, you know, but you know you're going to be very busy. I think about homeschooling on the mission field. That's a full-time job. As they take care of their heritage. As they work with the church. As they work with translations. As you work with the people. I want you to know that it's just constant. I enjoy going when I go to Ponape. When I'm there, I don't ever walk out in my pajamas because I don't know who's out in the living room. I don't care if it's 3 or 4 in the morning. I mean, Anybody could be, just show up. Because that's the way they run their ministries over there. And you'll find that as you go over there. So pray for their heavy schedule. It will be learning the language. Wow. Now, your children will pick it up real well. You know, when Kalea was home one time, he's talking to him, and I say, stop, stop. He said, what's wrong, Grandpa? I said, I don't understand. Oh, he said, I meant to speak English. They switch back and forth. And our little Kestra, who's what, 3, 5, 2, Kaylin. How old is Kaylin? 3, 4, 3. We have a little communication problem. I don't read lips, she doesn't either. All right, we just kiss each other's lips. All right, heavy schedule. Homeschool, pray for them. And then finally, as I just go over McGuinn quickly because I want to quit here. Health, heritage, a house to live in, the hindrances, harmony, heavy schedule, and a humble spirit. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn over there for just a minute as we close tonight and think with me here in verse 6, 7, and 8. I have seen more missionaries come off the field and pastors leave their pulpit because of pride. Pride. Got to watch out for it. I pray regularly for myself. And the Bible says, humble yourself. And if we don't humble ourselves, God has a way of doing it. I pray for my children on seas all the time. God humble. They've had, you know, this recently they had, what, over 400 at their revival meeting, had a great revival meeting. I want you to know, if you read the verse on humility, verse 6, 7, and 8, look at it. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth you. And then verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, who? The devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about. Can I help translate? Seeking who may devour through pride. Because that's what took him down. That's what takes more people down is pride. And so we pray that God will just keep them humble, Achilles humble, so God can use them. How easy, you know. As a pastor, Pastor Camp, you've been there. You preach a message, and people come, boy, that was a great message. I really need it. And you begin to pat yourself on the back. And, you know, I guess I did a pretty good job. You have to be careful with pride because it wasn't your message or my message. It's his message. So I say tonight to this church tonight, I pray that you will pray for them. Oh, you may have to have some of your prayers edited. You may not know for sure. And there are times when they're going to burden you, say, we need to pray for the Boylston. Stop what you're doing and pray for him. Because he enlightens you with the prayers. He enables you.